I want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, the Lord chapter 12. In chapter 12, he talks about all the body of believers. And I don't want to go into all the details, but he wants you to see the coordinates. But in verse 27, he says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts." When you take all of this information and you look at churchianity, you're going to find that the majority does not match. But then he goes on in verse 31, "And now I will show you a more excellent way. If I speak," chapter 13, verse 1, "if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal." And I could go on because you know these things by heart. But then verse 8 says, "Love never fails." And then it describes a place in God where all these gifts that we have are going to kind of disintegrate under the power of love. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, that's the piece that I want you to see. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When perfection comes means that there is a day coming where the body of Christ is going to do the works that Jesus did. And we're being prepared for that. And it's a works program by God. It's not a works program by man. And the more that we focus on the one who started all this, sometimes we get tired. And he can't perform things in us until we have some house cleaning. In other words, the things that hinder his ability to function in us and to use us, to give an example of the things that have been spoken of tonight. I hated confrontation. I couldn't handle confrontation. I would run from all directions, whatever, however, because I hated it. So obviously, when there was a confrontation, I would go the other way. Why? I never took time to look. Why? I just did so I could survive. I didn't realize that when the Holy Spirit started to work on me, that he was going to make me confront some of these weaknesses, some of these fear tactics that I had. But he did. You talked about a cradle. For me, one of the very first areas that he needed to clean up was when I was in the womb, because the rejection came before I was born. You say, well, how does that mark a child? It does. Words create. They create acceptance. They can create love and acceptance. They can create rejection. They can create trauma. I had several areas, but one of the most dramatic was when the Holy Spirit showed me that I had been rejected before I came out of that womb. And the rejection was solid. That covering of darkness was over me for approximately 38 years, along with the 9 months that I was in the womb. So you add that up. But when the Holy Spirit came, he came as a spark of light. It was during a healing service. I could see it like out in the heavens, somewhat like way out, like the North Star, if you wish. But everything else was black. And there was like a little tiny pinprick coming towards me. And it was Adam-like. It kept coming towards me. And as it got closer, my eyes were closed. There was a lot of other people in the room. But I was aware that I was alone. There was no one else as far as I was concerned. And I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say, "Will you forgive your father?" Anybody got a clue what I said? No. I did not say it out loud. But you got to remember, I was his 21st child. Anybody know what happens when you've got 20 already and your wife is 45 years old and she's expecting again? And he wasn't ready for that. So he did what comes naturally. We're going to give him away. I heard the voice four times. So God is persistent. Finally, I said, "Yes, I will." And when I said, "Yes, I will," that white light came in and it exploded on the inside of me like an atomic reaction. Love had entered in. You see, my earthly father couldn't handle me. My heavenly father had no problems with me. But nobody had told me that I had two. Yet I said a prayer all my life, "Our Father who art in heaven," but I didn't know what it meant. No. I didn't realize that I was a spirit being living in an earth suit. But when perfection decided to explode inside of me, the imperfect disappeared. What was the imperfect? When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. That night, when that evening was done, I was a different person. I had come to life in a way that I didn't perceive possible. I felt accepted for the first time. I had emotions that I forgotten that I could literally release. Some of it was tears, some of it was joy. But there was a sense of well-being that was weighed down inside that was a sovereign work by Father. Perfection and love had impacted me. Light had broken through the darkness. That black surrounding me was gone. Light was reflecting. It was reflecting in every dimension, in every area, in every direction. The imperfect disappeared. Verse 12 says, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Wow. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Being aware now for the first time that God could impact a man and recreate a mess, because that's what he was doing, recreating a mess. A jumbled up mess, a broken mess. And he began a work of recreating. And he recreated until he impacted me even deeper. He made me aware that I was not only loved, but I was desired. When I was desired, I no longer had that self-rejection that could start up another storm. Try to reactivate the self-rejection that I lived with for years. And that began to disintegrate more and more as he poured his love into me. He did it sovereignly because that's what I needed. He used people in my background to connect with me, to pour in acceptance. You see, I was so accustomed to receiving rejection that I would reject you before you even came close to me so that I wouldn't be hurt one more time.
Amen.
Why? Because it's better to save yourself now than to expose and then be wounded one more time. Because I had made many vows. Am I fully known now? I am by God, but not by myself. I'm still looking. I'm still searching. Verse 13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Do I have faith to continue? Yes, I choose faith. I activate faith. I go forward by faith. I rejoice that God is not done with me yet. Thank God he's not done with me yet. I still see lots of corners. But I have grace and favor that continues to work with me. You've all confessed that you were able to speak, to cry out for the Lord for help. Not understanding fully, but at least now you can say, I can try to go forward. With grace, I can do this. John, they made a declaration tonight about creation, hearing you. And they do respond. All of creation responds. all of creation that you and I have around us responds. It responds to either life or death. It's about what your mouth speaks. And I'll tell you, the safe area is your heavenly language. Even though it will cease someday, your heavenly language is your most awesome gift because it's got a defense mechanism that bypasses your brain. You can be so brainy and so educated that you're no earthly good. And I'm not picking on knowledge now. I'm not picking on schools. I'm not saying don't educate a child. That's stupid. But you know what? I have witnessed myself, many young people, over these 40 years that I've been serving in this capacity. They leave the high school graduation and they enter these higher places of learning and they lose their identity. They come out like monsters. They weren't monsters when they went in. Oh, they went in with joy. They come back a year later and you can't even identify in any way their holiness that they left with. It's disappeared. What happened to it? They took a secular education to cancel the spirit within them. And some it takes years to recover. And I'm not picking on the higher education. That's not the case. I am saying, however, don't let the world system destroy your future. Amen. All right? Mm-hmm. Don't let it happen. When the faith and the hope and the love that are in them comes back to life, you'll see them also be resurrected. So that's my prayer for the youth of today. When faith comes back to life in them, when they can believe for something again, they'll come back. It may take time, but they will come back. Because you see, the seeds of light are not going to be extinguished by some head knowledge. When God's Holy Spirit invades them, believe me, they're going to awaken to what they need to do. Amen. And that's what we are here for, to continue to pray for them and inform them and lift them up. Do not be afraid to intercede for the youth. They need you. Do not give up on them because they're having a hard day or a hard year or a hard season. Don't give up. Just continue to pour love into them even if they're having a hard time. Amen. Would you close your eyes now? Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
the greatest of all,
of the better ways,
is to have more love in me than I've ever had before. Keep me loving the broken, and that includes me. Keep me loving those that are wounded, and continue to heal them. And if you want to, you can use me. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Share some hugs with each other and be at peace. Huh?